Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Reality NSFW. I am your host, Alex Schuss, covering The Challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies, Episode 16. And I'm here with Lauren Pratt. Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Excited to talk about this episode. Hopefully, we bring a little bit more energy to this podcast than what we saw in the episode, because I got to say, not my favorite episode of the season, that's for sure.
Well, there's a lot of them, easy for it to not be a favorite. And, you know, it was just like, there was nothing bad about this episode, but there was nothing amazing about this episode. It was just an episode.
I feel as though this is what happens on almost every single challenge season, is it gets so hyped up at the beginning and it's amazing and it's great. And then we get to the middle where it's a little bit of a lull, and then we get one or two episodes that are fantastic and kill it. And then you get towards the end and we're almost ready for the season to kind of just get to the final and be over.
Right. We're very much like the contestants where it's like, you know, the final's here, so let's just get to the final. We feel like we're dragging our feet a little bit. And that's sort of what just happens when you decide to have a 19-episode season. There's going to be moments where things drag. But we can go into the beginning of the episode. We get the previously on. It's just Emmanuel before he runs down into the trenches. They're not good this year. The previously ons are not good this year. It's a shame. I feel bad for Johnny. I know that's one of his favorite parts, who sadly could not join us today, but will be back next week.
Absolutely. And I think what it is mostly is last season's previous on were so good, entertaining, brought a lot of energy to them. And then these ones are kind of just, I feel as though a little bit scripted. It's basically, all right, where can we slide this in based on what was happening at that previous daily challenge?
Yeah, and then we had some of those in last season, but they still just seemed better. But, you know, that's besides the point. We're going to move forward. So we get back into house. Kyle just won. He has his spot back in Sapphire. It's a team of him, CT, and Emmy. But we get Emmanuel to start the episode, and he's still calling Kyle a chicken. I'm pretty sure it's almost the same exact confessional that we had from him last week. He's very high on himself. Very confident. He does do very well in all the missions, but has not touched the elimination yet. But he seems to think everyone is scared of him.
And I appreciate someone that has confidence in themselves that they're going to perform and do well, but I need to see it as a viewer. And I agree, he's done really well in the missions and all of that, but he hasn't gone down into an elimination. And I think that's the key place that you can actually prove how great of a competitor that you truly are. And that's what we see from Emmy. Emmy is a killer competitor because time and time again goes in, proves herself, and it hasn't been the same type of eliminations either. She's had to do different things to move forward within the game.
Yeah, and she had to prove a lot, especially this episode, conquering her lack of strength in puzzle, despite and sort of having to ignore CT and all of his yelling during that in order to get it done. Emmy's been a roller coaster. We can stop right here for a quick moment, because, like, obviously, if you're watching this episode, you've watched the episode. Emmy wins, is only, I believe, the third person ever to win 4 eliminations in a season. Last one was Leroy in X's 2, I want to say. But I know for sure the last female to do it was Laurel, who won 4 eliminations in free agents, which she won. So I agree with what Nelson said in his very scripted promo confessional that Emmy, it's a back and forth relationship with Emmy for me, but she, without a doubt, no matter what you think about Emmy, she is the rookie of the year or at least the rookie of the season.
Definitely the rookie of the season, no doubt about it there. And we are really on that roller coaster level, as you said, because I think some episodes you come out of it saying, oh my gosh, rooting for Emmy, love Emmy. And then others you're saying, ooh, don't really know how I feel because I just can't necessarily, she's very difficult to read, in my opinion. Yes. Go for it.
No. Go ahead. I just have some other thoughts about Emmy, but please wrap up what you want to say.
Yeah, I'm just saying she's difficult to read because you just don't know what you're going to get on that particular day. You see her interactions with CT, very calm, very cool, and able to be level-headed when she's with him. But when she's with other people, she can kind of go in so many different directions and doesn't actually seem to be able to fully articulate her thoughts necessarily to those other specific people. And I think if CT wasn't in this game, she would have a tough road ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I definitely agree with you there. I personally believe this was one of her better episodes. You see her, weirdly enough, being the calm head, trying to get Sapphire to be together. Despite CT's very childish behavior and Kyle's also childish behavior and not just getting along with each other, even though Kyle at least will be good and say, like, I'm willing to do it for the game, but, you know, he devalued our friendship. That's it. I'm not going to look forward for it. CT, though, is just like, oh, why would he join my team? Woe is me. Woe is me. Why is someone going against my master idea of what I want this game to be? It's him being very entitled to his spot. But, you know, granted, you're CT, like, you're going to be entitled to it. But, like, I didn't expect him to react so childish about it.
Well, and it also goes back to, what do you expect Kyle to do? If Kyle thinks that you're the best competitor, of course he's going to come to your cell, because in Kyle's mind, he's probably thinking, I'm going to run the final with these people. And I got to say, Emmy, one of the strongest girls in the house as well. So being on a team with both her and CT can be super beneficial if that is indeed what they are doing in the final, which is running together. And I don't think it's happening. And you see it at the end of the episode, TJ even making that point, saying, don't get too comfortable. And now people really need to realize, probably not going to run in these cells.
Well, they don't realize it. Or at least they're not showing us on TV that they realize that that could be a possibility. All of them are making decision making based off, oh, we're going to be running the final in these cell groups. So why would you ever try to compromise us? It's a lot of people being very entitled, but not realizing they're being entitled about it, which, before we move forward, I did skip the part where Devin's congratulating Kyle for his win, but says, like, it's weird to say, but, like, Josh, I'm going to miss him. Like, he was always honest. He was such a straight shooter. And then he goes and throws his friends Amanda and Tori under the bus because it's both of their fault that Josh is gone. And it's, like, this continuation of the trend of power has gone to Devin's head where he thinks everything should just be going his way. And now he keeps putting more blame on his friends when they're not on his team anymore and saying, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. It can't possibly be my fault. I can't possibly be in the wrong. It's their fault.
Right. So my biggest takeaway for Devin is this. I think Devin can be very rootable when he is playing the underdog role. This season, he's not playing the underdog role. He's at the top of the food chain. And I think that is why we're seeing some people say, not sure how I feel about Devin right now, because he, in his mind, thinks everything he's doing is rational. And it's not, because he's really actually distancing himself from friends that he has in this game because he thinks that they're making all the wrong moves. When in actuality, he's not, you know, fully trusting in the people that he's had history with, because they don't do anything against him necessarily, but in his mind, he thinks that they do because they're not doing everything that he wants them to do in the game. And that's why we're seeing he plays better in the underdog role. He's rootable then. He's more likable. He has these funny one-liners and everything. But this season, because he has not been, had his back against the wall, he's not as enjoyable to watch, in my opinion.
Like, he's still enjoyable to watch, but it's like, yeah, I'm not so, like, when I watch a show, like, I, like anyone, you have your favorites, you have the people that you're rooting against, you have the people you're rooting for. I don't tend to root against that many people actively. I like to root for people, and I it's just that I root for them less when they're in, when they show their ass, and I think Devin showed his ass a good bit this season, and I ain't talking about Kyle's ass that we did see this episode multiple times, which I'm very sad that Johnny's not on to discuss all of that, because I'm sure Johnny would have had some stories about it, which I won't, but we'll move forward from there. It's just that Devin is in a position he is not familiar with, even though it's a position that he always thinks of himself to supposed to be at. So now that he's at that level, it's sort of just interesting how he's attacking the ones closer to him because they're not going with his agenda, even though he can't understand that they also need to do what's best for their game, not just his game.
Right. And I do give him credit. I actually do think he's a really great strategist and everything. Oh, yeah. He is able to convince people to be on his side time and time again. And I definitely think people are realizing that. I'm rooting for Devin still to win a challenge season because I actually do like him. He's a great character to have on the season, and he's someone that I think we're going to constantly see return in future seasons.
Yeah. When we get to the end of the episode, we can sort of discuss a little further who we think could win or want to win at this point with who's remaining on the table. But it's day off. It's yacht day. Vote day from TJ to the contestants. We don't get a ton here, but it's just a rehash a couple relationship stuff. So we get this Nani thread still of Emerald's in such a good position, but she understands they're so close to the final, maybe like one or two eliminations for each group away, depending on how they do it. And she's very close to finally being on the run this final with Casey. And so now it's her goal is to do everything in her power to prevent any of that switching up. Makes sense, but part of me keeps thinking they keep highlighting this as like for most of Emerald, that's like their only storyline is keeping intact, run with Casey. I feel like these next few episodes they have to be showing this for a reason, and the reason it has to be they don't get there with Casey.
Yeah, so I was thinking the amount of times that Nani keeps saying it, there has to be some type of storyline there. And you're right, they wouldn't keep showing it unless there's a reason behind it. And I'm going to be completely honest. I think they're going to realize, oh, we're not running in cells. And then again, I have no idea if they are, if they aren't. But I'm just reading into the fact that I just don't see them starting off in teams running the final. I think they're either going to start as individuals or they're going to mix and match with some partners. And so by her saying that, I think A, she never gets partnered up with Casey at all, or B, Nani for some reason doesn't actually make the final.
Right, and we could go down a rabbit hole discussing how we think that final is going to be run, because there's also a possibility they do start it in these cells, depending on how the cell makeup is. I could see them be like, oh, like let's say Emerald takes another hit or two and now it's like a 3-3-4 type of deal. I could see them be like, oh, we'll start in that. But then like based off what happens in the first part of the final, you then have people who did better get to choose who their partner is. And then you keep going back and forth that way. And that's your partner now for the second half. Because I feel they said it was like, well, one guy, one girl winner. At least I thought they said that at the beginning of the season. Maybe I'm thinking of All Stars 2. Who knows? All Stars 2 is so much more fun to watch.
That's also another reason why they should not be airing both of them at the same time. Because I think people are so hyped up on the All Stars train right now. And that's why people aren't as invested with this current challenge season that is going on. But I will say there's 11 people left, correct?
Yes. There are at the moment 6 guys and 5 girls. So yeah,
okay. 11 people left. So I'm guessing, obviously, we're going to see another guy go for sure. take us down to 10. And then I think maybe go into a final there potentially, but then maybe see a purge at the beginning of the final.
That's always a possibility, like similar to what we've seen on, I think like when the War of the Worlds did that, or both of them maybe. We know All-Stars did that. So that's that is a likely possibility that you go with 5 and 5 and two, a guy and a girl get dropped at the end of the first challenge. So that's especially because now that we're at episode 16, you have to believe at least one person is leaving next week.
17. Yep.
Yeah. And then with two episodes left, I'm assuming that one of them, it does not include the reunion. Then you have the two episodes for your finale, depending on their episode length, because they may just do, okay, 1.5 hours. That's plenty of time to do a final. We'll see. But the other half of it, because we already did talk the post-yacht thing with Emmy and Kyle, and Kyle's like talking about that friendship and being able to work with CT professionally, but go their separate ways after the task is done. The other storyline that we keep getting is the Tori and Devin relationship. So both of them are saying at the yacht that at least in professional that they do have a good friendship that's been building in the past year. They trust each other. Devin sees Tori still as his number one female ally, but he is still pretty upset over how she handled the last mission going for herself. And Tori's upset that Devin doesn't realize she's not on his team anymore. Why should she still be doing only what benefits Devin and not what benefits herself and her situation?
So here's my take on this entire situation. I actually somewhat agree with Tori because Devin is 100% pushing his own agenda. And truly, if they do have a friendship, Devin will let it go because he keeps bringing it up. And I actually think Tori's trying to forget about the entire situation. And in all honesty, none of that even really matters. They're both still in the game and they both might have to work with each other moving forward at some point because we don't know what the entire segment of the final is going to look like. And I think Devin just needs to suck it up, give Tori what she wants, just a small apology. That's all she's asking for. And at the end of the day, I just think they both need to get over it themselves because it's just something that it keeps coming up. And I just don't understand why, because it's really actually going to potentially hinder both of their games.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very complex. So like I also agree, like looking at it on the screen, I would side with Tori on this one where I'm like, you can't expect her to tank her game so that her friends that aren't part of her team anymore and who allowed Amanda to take her spot or give Amanda the opportunity to take her spot, you know, to like still only be playing for Emerald. Like she's not part of that team anymore. And if she lets you win, she's exposed. Yes, it was a guy's mission last week, but her goal is to keep strong people around her. Both the guys she on her team, she sees as strong. So you're going to do what you need to do there. But from Devin's aspect, I can also understand him because I have a similar thing where I can apologize. I can apologize to the moon, but there's times where you feel like you saying the apology would feel empty saying it. Because like one, he doesn't really feel he's in the wrong because he's at this point just not accepting the other person's side of the argument. So if you're not accepting the other person's side of the argument in your head, you don't understand why is it that you need to say something because he's like, well, you ganged up on me. Like, if anything, you should be apologizing to me because you guys were trying to put us in danger. Instead of just seeing, oh, she was just trying to win to protect her and the people that are now her team. So in his idea, he's like, I will only say an apology if I truly mean it. And I know if I say it here, I don't truly mean it. And if that's true and you see that, then all my apologies in the future will mean nothing because they won't have any substance behind it.
And that's what I do actually appreciate about Devin, because that's him being real. He thinks if he does apologize to her, that's him being fake in the situation because he does not think that he's in the wrong. So I do appreciate that about his personality, and I prefer to see that in people. I don't necessarily want fake apologies, but I'm just looking at the game aspect and just saying, suck it up for the game and apologize to her, because then that's all she wanted. You're all good from there. But if you're outside of the game, different story for sure. I think he can go about it the way that he would want to. But in the game, you need as many allies as you possibly can have, because in her mind, she could be thinking, and we see this on many other reality television shows, is why in the world am I going to do something to help somebody else win and not myself? Because I'm not here to play Devin's game and let Devin win. I came out here for me to win. And you think and see it in so many other seasons where there's a dominant player that's at the top and wants everyone to do what they want them to do. And then there's people that all of a sudden have a pushback with it because they're saying to themselves, why did I come all the way out here just to help someone else win and tank my own game? It makes no sense.
Yeah, and Tori has said herself that she feels in past seasons she wasn't just playing for herself, she was playing for her friends. This time she wants to play for herself. The only thing I would go against Devin on is how he went about the conversation, and also saying, like, it's irrational to apologize for hurting people's feelings. Because I hurt a lot of people's feelings. Do I need to apologize to everyone? The answer is yes. Even if you don't, like, and it's like I'm agreeing with you in this sense of, even if you don't truly feel you need to apologize, if they're your friend and all they're asking is, we can squash it. If you just apologize for hurting my feelings, I'm not even talking about the game. I'm just saying you made me feel bad. Can you just say you're sorry and we can move forward? Because I want this friendship to keep working. You say it and then you move forward. So really, it's just both of them, or more so Devin than Tori in this instance, being stubborn. But they're both being stubborn to a sense. But that's sort of what you expect from reality people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this honestly could have been squashed, though, last episode, and it keeps coming up time and time again, and I just kind of want it to be over with, because they really just need to come to their senses and say, okay, we need each other for this game. We are playing a game together. We have a friendship outside of this. Just let it go, because it's over a small, little, tiny thing. It's not a big deal, and Devin's trying to make it come across as it impacted the entire season and is blaming her and Amanda essentially for why Josh got sent home. And I don't agree with that. I think someone from Emerald was going to go home eventually, no matter what.
Absolutely. And honestly, the overall thing, and we hear from Kyle, it's not just that they're being emotional or that Devin's being emotional. It's that he's being selfish, but not realizing that he's also being selfish. Because you hear him time and time again talking about everyone else being selfish. But he doesn't think he's being selfish. He thinks he's doing this great gesture and helping everybody, like mainly the Emerald Cell. But like he feels like he's helping everyone, so he can't possibly be playing a selfish game. Because we hear it later on in the episode. He's like, maybe all these other people are playing selfish, so maybe I should too. I'm like, you are. You actively are playing probably one of the most selfish games. That's why you're reacting the way that you are. When you're trying to make Tori feel horrible for making a choice for herself, that's you being selfish as well. But we can keep going over and over again. We're going to be rehashing the same point here. So we'll get to the next step. So we get the Big T confessional, which made me automatically go, well, she goes home. which was her just really talking with Logan, like, this is my second chance in the game. I want to prove that I'm someone that people can run a final with, that they don't need to see me as this weak person. I can do it. I just need to show it and prove it, not just to everyone else, but to myself.
And that's the thing. A lot of this season has people dancing around how to not have Big T in their cell.
Yeah. And it's hard to watch because, like, the human side of you, it feels horrible for Big T and how she's treated in that, in the game sense of, like, oh, she's the weakest. We don't want her. Let's all try to push her onto someone else. It's just like the Nelson confessional at the elimination was gutting to me. Because I was like, that was the first one that I felt wasn't scripted.
Yeah.
That was the one that I was like, he meant that with his full chest. And he said it with such like ice cold in his voice of just like, it's her time to go. She's cost us missions. Which, by the way, let me just put the record straight. Before we get into the mission, this mission loss officially makes it 50 straight daily losses for Nelson.
Yep.
He has gone 50 dailies without a win. Not everyone else. Nelson has gone 50 straight without a win. And so maybe I'm not saying that he's the reason why he has lost all 50 of them, but he's the common factor.
He's part of it. It's like, no, I'm not going to say like, here's what I will say about Nelson. I think Nelson puts himself on a high pedestal thinking that he is some fabulous competitor. Has he proved how good he is in certain eliminations? Yeah, sure. Give him credit there. But in the daily missions, he has not come through, and he seems to always put the blame on every other single person. And I think he needs to take a step back, look at himself as well. Now, I think if they had different people on the Ruby cell throughout this season, they could have maybe won. But he also plays a role on why they lose. He's not the person that single-handedly carries the team, make sure that the team is doing this, this, and that, because if that was happening, they would have won something. And I actually think they messed up not winning this daily because they got outsmarted.
Well, yeah, definitely. Like, Nelson was the work harder, not smarter mentality. Like, he's like, I'm a brute. Like, I'm not saying that in a negative sense. I'm just saying, like, I'm a physical, like, that's my strength, is I'm strong, I have endurance. Like, when it comes to athleticism, Nelson's on the upper tier of the people that we have on this show. But he's not truly the person who can make a plan come together. He's not the manipulator like Devin is and what he accuses Devin of being. And he's not good at the mental comp side of the game, where, like, we saw he was struggling to do the puzzles or read the puzzle pieces out for that the Maverick challenge. So he has his strengths. And, like, in a daily like today, that strength is good. And what should be a reason why you win. And it wasn't his fault, per se, why they lost. But, you know, I just wanted to put that out there because everyone keeps throwing it at Big T. And Big T, I'm not saying Big T was amazing.
No.
But I would not say her going in the wrong car is the reason why you lost.
I don't think it was the reason why they lost. I think it kind of slowed them down just maybe 10 seconds. But it didn't slow them down enough where the other team didn't have a chance to catch up to them. So that, to me, doesn't play a huge factor. They're going to make it seem like it did, but it absolutely didn't. It slowed them down maybe 10 more seconds there. And do we know what Nelson's elimination record is?
I don't know it offhand. I would say he's the average. Like, he usually does pretty well in elimination, but obviously he's not been to a lot of finals, so you have to imagine there's a good amount of losses in there too.
Yeah.
Plus you have the Dirty 30 where you got kicked out or you got DQ'd essentially for getting in Derek's face and like almost fighting him. But you know, granted, look, he got kicked out, but Camilla didn't.
There's that.
But anyway, it's time to talk about the mission. But before they start the mission, TJ wants them to know what $1 million looks like and feels like. And you see this, you see one of the three safes, and he opens the safe and everyone sees what $1 million hard cash looks like.
And then you cue Casey with the only time they ever use her for confessionals or a word is at the dailies.
Well, because she keeps her nose clean. Like, I understand people who say, like, Casey's not a good reality TV character. And I don't think a lot of us disagree there. We like Casey as a person.
Yes.
So we're not going to trash Casey. And I'm more focused on, for her, she's not there to be the character. She's there to be the competitor, and she beats Sal every time. So you're not going to get a lot of screen time and have a lot of confessionals go your way unless you're actually controlling. And she is controlling the season, but who are you going to have give the confessional about it? Are you going to give Casey the confessional, or are you going to give Devin the confessional?
Right, and I agree with that. But I also think Casey has more to offer than they are giving her on some seasons, because she definitely has the chops to be able to deliver in confessional, but you have to give her that opportunity because she actually is playing a great strategic game. And I think we've talked about this before. She whenever their cell has won, she's controlled which girl has been nominated.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's easy to say she's still my winner pick from the female side of who's left. that's just facts right now, guys. Like, let's be real. Until we see otherwise, she's the top dog of the remaining women.
The only person I think at this moment could give her a run for her money would be Emmy.
Yes, depending on the partner. Because, like, if for whatever reason Emmy isn't with CT, then I don't think Emmy's that much of a threat. Like, she'll, because she needs to have a partner that is very guiding and gentle with her, like CT is with her. I don't think Kyle would be. I don't think Nelson would be at all. Potentially Devin, but, like, well, we would have to see what the situation is. But I feel like you don't need to worry about who the guy competitor is with Casey. You just need to, like, if Casey's with any one of these guys, they're in a good spot.
Oh, yeah, she could work with anyone. She's probably one of the most easygoing people we've ever seen in a challenge house because she's going to kind of keep her hands clean. She knows exactly what to say and when to say it. And I think people enjoy working with her because, A, she's a great competitor, but, B, she's also going to be very supportive of her partner.
Right. But, yeah, so we find out the money is weighs a ton, essentially. Literally, it weighs a ton. So it's called Million Dollar Heist, already a better name than, it's straightforward, but it's also a better name than Bomb or Blast or whatever you want to do. It doesn't involve a bomb, which is perfect. It was literally an old-fashioned challenge of each group had $1 million cash in a safe. You then had to put them into two duffel bags. Each team only has two duffel bags, and you race back and forth from the safe to your badass SUVs, where you then had to put all the money in. Every single dollar had to be put in there and fit in the SUV. First person to complete it and close all the doors with them, all their money in it, wins, becomes the agency, safe from elimination, and they get to decide who goes down in elimination.
So I'm going to point something out. This is why I am not enjoying the cells as much anymore, because I absolutely think having more numbers helps these groups in the missions. I mean, Emerald, I think if they were equal in numbers, would not win as many times as they have won. And I know we go back and forth with this saying, well, they definitely should win because then you get an upper hand going into the next daily. And so I just think the cells to me was a miss on this season. I think their intentions of making it happen at the beginning, I was hyped about when it was 6, 6, and 6. Awesome. It looked great on paper, but how it progressed, it's a miss for me.
Yeah, definitely. And I think part of that miss is them not thinking people wouldn't infiltrate the winning team, because, like, I think that was specifically why they said, oh, you could take anyone's spot. It doesn't matter if they won. So they probably thought there would have been more drama and more people being like, oh, we're going to keep infiltrating whoever wins and create the friction there. But they didn't, which allowed Emerald to keep its nucleus intact. Definitely was a reason why they won today, because, like, having five people, like you saw Sapphire. Sapphire had no chance because CT and Kyle were eventually going to tire out because they were the two people who were lugging all the money on their backs the entire time. Because you have to imagine, depending on how many trips they had to do, like, you probably could fit, like, at least 100 pounds of that cash into those duffel bags. So you're basically carrying a person, or at least, like, a large child back and forth across. They're saying, I think it's, like, probably, like, it, I would have to imagine it was probably, like, a mile each way. Maybe two. I wouldn't have made it two because I think that's ridiculous. You're making them run a marathon for a daily. So we don't even, this had to have lasted a long time with how they were showing it.
It looked like a haul, and you could definitely tell people were getting gassed pretty dang quick. And what I will say is Sapphire, no chance. Absolutely agree. Because you need more hands, especially to organize the money within the duffel bags. Because what was happening with them is they would load them up, and then the only other person that they had was Emmy to kind of organize it to put more money in there. But if you had an extra hand, such as a fourth person, you would have been able to get that done a lot quicker, because we see towards the end of the daily that their safe is very, very full still.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also could probably argue it's because CT and Kyle still probably aren't getting along. Even though we don't really see much of it, we just see CT, like, complaining constantly. I'm like, dude, another story that, like, get over it. Just move forward. You're one of the best players to play the game. Adjust and move. Pivot. Stop staying in this position of, oh, Kyle sucks. Kyle sucks. I'm like, Kyle's almost won multiple finals, buddy. You should be happy he's on your team and not Nelson, who loses all the time.
Yeah, it's adapting to situations. And Kyle's not a bad competitor. Kyle's actually a good competitor, and I think CT should take it as a compliment. Kyle wants to be on your team because Kyle wants to win and thinks that you're able to win.
Right. So we're going to remove Sapphire from the equation because it's really just about two teams and two different strategies. We have Ruby and Emerald going at it. Five people versus four people. Ruby's strategy is do more trips, but like just pack less, pack enough, but like try use our speed to get back and forth to try to cover up ground. Emerald's saying, and led by Amanda, pack every inch of that duffel bag to the brim. It will take longer to set it up, but it'll take fewer trips to transfer over. Ultimately, that's what wins the day. So a big win due in part because of Amanda's resourcefulness and figuring out how to maximize the bag. I agree with Emerald's strategy. It does never make sense in something where you're also running multiple miles of, oh, let's just try to be the faster team and do a lot of trips. Fewer trips wins the day, like basically 100% of the time.
Right. They definitely had the best strategy going in to this daily. And I think Amanda absolutely deserves more credit than she gets. She's a useful person to have on your team. And I think people actually on that cell are starting to recognize that yes, is she going to be probably the most endurance person you're going to have? No, but she's very, very intelligent and very, very smart. You need those type of people. You can't just have someone that can strictly just run. They have to be able to do other things besides just be the workhorse.
Right. And like when you look at the grander scheme of things here, because people were talking about, oh, Amanda would be weak and not ready for a final. We didn't see her as the person getting tired, running back and forth. Like, obviously, she wasn't the one holding the bag, but she was running with everyone, and we saw people not running with the bag getting tired. The main people getting tired were Big T and Devin. Devin looked like a couple times like he was going to pass out from, like, that's how fatigued and tired he was. And we see Nelson comment about it here, and he comments about it later. But he comments about it saying, like, Devin's the type of guy who would rather go and get a beer and shoot some pool than get on the treadmill, which Johnny's mentioned it before. It's like, if you're going to be doing these shows and this is like your money maker, you can still have that lifestyle, but you also need to just put in extra work and put that effort in where, you know, the end goal is endurance. You need to have that endurance. And like, did Devin stop? No, but it is a weakness.
Yeah, definitely one of his weaknesses for sure. But also Devin realized that's a weakness of his. And I do think if he continues to do these, he's going to change that because we've seen it with a couple other people. For instance, Josh. Josh, this season, amazing shape. He, to me, looked final ready 100%. I think he would have been able to keep up with anyone in the running portion of it. So for Devin, he has everything mentally. And I actually think if he gets to the point where he has that little bit more endurance, he's going to do completely fine. And he didn't stop. So he wasn't dragging his team down. He wasn't behind anybody. He just was taking a couple little extra breaths when they were loading the bags.
Right. And ultimately, that's what pays off. Emerald wins the mission. They're all safe from elimination. They are now the agency. We are heading into the elimination now with knowing that there's only three possible options of Tori, Big T, and Emmy. But before we go into the aftermath of the mission and going into everything else that happened on this episode, we will be right back after you hear a word from some of our sponsors.
Ho, 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 gentlemen! The holidays have come early here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their ultra-new, ultra-premium body wash and a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It's time to give yourself or someone who needs it the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. go to manscaped.com and use promo code SURVIVOR for 20% off and free shipping.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Jingle balls to the walls. Fellas, listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, and it's possible you have Santa's beard in your pants. Could be Matt Bischoff's. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of your chimney. I'm talking about Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Oh, now... I had a lot of sex when I got back from my last appearance. I literally had sex 8 times in 12 hours. And I did some damage down there, fellas. I did some serious damage. I had to call my doctor. There was swelling. There was everything else. It was bad. But you know what wasn't bad? My balls, because I shaved them with Manscaped. Oh, there was lighting at the top of the tree, but the bottom of the tree looked perfect.
Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to reduce cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. It's like a gift to your partner with less mess. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, moisturizer, and toner. It's time to keep your North Pole feeling and smelling fresh.
This hygiene bundle will also come with a pair of Manscaped anti-chafing boxers. God bless it. I needed and used that this week. I promise you. The perfect package for your perfect package. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new ultra premium body wash. It's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized.
They also just launched their new 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, which has key ingredients with benefits that include hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, and strengthening your hair at the same time. 'Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, your friends, your neighbor, the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Reality NSFW listeners get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Every guy out there needs to add Manscaped to their wish list this holiday season.
This is Santa Claus talking to you once again. Get 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That is 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use promo code SURVIVOR. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing as a midnight snack right before bed.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories per serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my favorite, maple waffle. Now, Magic Spoon recently brought back their two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Thank goodness. But they're back permanently. And when these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. Now, I'm here to let you know you can get them again or try them for the first time. Why? Because they're delicious and indulgent.
Johnny, Magic Spoon has so many great flavors that I really enjoy, and even my kids enjoy them. We have the cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter. All these are really great combinations. They enjoy waking up in the morning and getting some Magic Spoon right off to start their day great before they head off to school. I think everybody listening should give Magic Spoon a try, or if you've tried them already, it's time to reorder. Let's get you some more Magic Spoon and get your day started right.
Hey, when I finish a podcast late at night, the first thing I'm thinking is not sleep. It's let me grab a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon before I go to bed.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code survivor at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast.
And we are back after some great ads. You know, it's Black Friday. Use these deals. They're great. But we are also back with a Scottish party for Kyle. His 29th birthday. They have a great time. Kyle shows his ass. It was nice seeing Kyle, like, and everyone just enjoying themselves, separating from the game for a bit. And also for Kyle, who just seemed like a little bit down the last couple episodes, getting a chance like to see, like, okay, pass the game. Like, at least these people are at least faking to like me now.
Yes, everyone was there letting loose a little bit. You even had the line dancing. Everyone seemed into it and just having a good time. And I think that is sometimes something that they need to have. You have to just separate the game for a moment, have some fun, because at the end of the day, no one actually genuinely hates each other on this season. People just have their little tiffs here and there, but there's not any big, huge vendettas like we've seen on seasons past.
Right, and a lot of them, like, we can tell are made for TV.
Right.
It is what it is. But we during the end, towards the back end of that party, we do see Big T and Tori talking, and Big T sort of saying to Tori, like, I'm planning to ask to go in. I feel like I need to prove to a lot of people that I deserve to be here. And most likely, I would end up saying Emmy, and I want to infiltrate Emerald. For Tori, you know, she's perfectly fine with that scenario because it doesn't involve her. And, you know, if I ain't going to elimination, why should I be stressing?
Exactly. You don't want to go down into elimination. If you can avoid it at any possible situation, go for it. Because anything can happen in elimination. We've seen it where people have gone in super confident that they're going to win and they don't end up winning. They end up going home. And then that person that did win might end up going to a final or whatever. But I think a lot of what has happened on this season is people pushing to get themselves voted in if they know the target is indeed on their back as a potential option, because they want to see what's in the elimination and who are they then going to choose to go up against. Because I think it's a huge advantage for you to be able to see what is down there and then analyze, okay, who can I actually beat in this type of scenario? And we hear it time and time again. Sometimes you don't know that it's pole wrestle because there's not a pole there. But in this elimination in particular, you definitely saw a pool and you definitely saw a puzzle.
Right. Like, you didn't know obviously going in, but yeah, it's a lot of people who want to go in sort of like change the narrative of, no, I wasn't the person picked because I'm weak. You should pick me because you see me as weak, and then I get to choose who I go up against. But like, Emerald still is on this like might and high like thing of, well, we keep doing favors for everyone and they keep stealing from us. I'm like, it's happened once.
Mm-hmm.
You've had the power like five times. It's happened one time. People haven't been taking advantage of you. They literally have done what you asked, which was not infiltrate you, except for Amanda. But Amanda told you that if she went in, either way, she was going to take a spot on Emerald. So, like, I don't understand this logic. And also, this entire plan, and we can just break that down, like, from here through nomination. Whole plan was horrible. Because it does not matter if you made Big T the house vote or had Tori be the house vote. Because either way, Big T was the one getting called down. Like, yep. more likely. Like, there's a possibility in this world where Tori picks Emmy because she sees the puzzle. I don't know. But I still feel like Big T, more times than not, because you don't know what the challenge or the elimination is going to be, Big T's the one getting called. So it literally makes no sense to try to piss off someone else who's ultimately going to pick Big T. Because in the event that they don't beat Big T, Big T's still taking your spot. Whereas with the other ones, there's more of a chance if Big T's the one who picks them, they just go back to their other team. So Emerald was literally getting in their own way this episode. And I was just like so frustrated from the strategic side of me. I was like all across the board, horrible decision making, even though they got the intended results that they wanted ultimately at the end.
It shouldn't have even been a decision. Big T needed to go in no matter what, because as you just said, everyone's going to pick her regardless, unless they just see something where they said, all right, I'm going to take the other person out because I think it's a good time to take out a huge competitor. But if you're that close to a final, there's no way you do that because you ultimately want to get there. You could make a mistake, pick the wrong person, send your ass home, and you don't want to do that. And I think with Big T saying, and they're taking it as a threat that she's going to infiltrate their cell, sorry, her getting picked by somebody else to go down, she's still going to do the same exact thing. And as you said, your biggest hope is just that the other people get selected by Big T and go back to their cell, which you knew that Big T was probably going to not pick Tori, do what she did, selects Emmy. Emmy wants to be with Uncle CT. She does not care about any other person on this cast. She wants to be with CT time and time again. So there's no way she's going to come over to your cell. And so it didn't even need to be this big whole dilemma. The Devin and Tori situation didn't need to happen again with each other. And I just think the fact that that did happen is going to continue to make Tori question what Devin's true intentions are moving forward this season.
Right. And we see that here. When Devin approaches Tori after they have this Emerald meeting and Amanda brings up, you should just put Tori in. If you're that afraid of making Big T the household, then you put Tori in, who will pick Big T, and then she will win, and we'll see what happens. Even though like it almost seemed like they were all talking as if she would just come back to Emerald and take Amanda's spot. Devin's like towing around saying that the threat of Big T saying that she'll infiltrate Emerald, and he's like, we keep giving people what they want and all that, and Tori's like, cut the bullshit. Like, are you trying to ask me if it's okay that you guys vote me in as the house vote? Because I'm not cool with that. And say I do go down there and I do win and I do come back to you, you guys all just threw me in. Like, how can I trust you guys? You guys put my life in the game on the balance because you guys are scared that Big T's going to win an elimination. And what happens if I lose? Then I'm gone. And she still does it.
Exactly. And that's the thing. If I'm sitting in Tori's shoes, I'm saying you're literally kind of have my game in your hands at the moment. You put me in, say I go up against Big T, happen to lose or something. Guess what? She's coming over making your side weaker. And you put me in a situation that I never wanted to be in. And I do think if Tori would have been the selection, she goes in, as we said, picks Big T. I do think, yes, goes over to Emerald, takes Amanda's spot. Well, yeah, their cell gets stronger with that, but you don't need to put Tori in for that to happen. Let Big T have the choice. If she picks Emmy, great. That's what she did. And you still got what you wanted. No one infiltrated. Say Big T does pick Tori in that situation. Okay, Tori's probably going to win it. And then Tori's going to come over to you and get rid of Amanda, who you've been talking shit about this entire time.
Right. But yeah, now it's time for nominations. Obviously, all the girls give their pitches. Emmy's like, I would prefer, or really, we didn't hear from Tori, but we hear from Emmy say, like, this would be her fourth elimination. She's willing to crush bones and skulls to get to this final, but she would prefer not to be the house vote. Thank you. And then Big T gives her pitch of, I would like to go be picked by you guys. If I win, no offense, I'm going to be joining your team. And I'll be taking Amanda's spot. And then that starts the debate of like, oh, well, them trying to be like, well, just because you come over here doesn't mean you'll win, which first off, bullshit, because you have more people. But it then leads to the argument of, is this game or is it personal? And Devin goes, well, we're not making a personal decision here. This is all based on our game, because was it personal when two teams ganged up against us? Like, was that game where that's personal? And like CT and Tori were just like, nope. We're not having this bullshit, Devin. You guys can't throw that in our faces when every single time you keep attacking Ruby, every single time you win, you attack someone from Ruby, you attack someone from Sapphire, you attack someone. Like, you've been hitting us. What do you expect us to do, to crawl over and die and just let you guys waltz in? That's not going to happen. And it's just, again, we hear from Tori and we hear from CT and we hear from Kyle, like, Devin's letting the power get to his head. He's being more emotional and he keeps attacking his close friends.
Exactly. And two, if you want to go back to that scenario where Ruby and Sapphire teamed up, how can you blame them? Because Emerald has more numbers and they want it to win. They're trying to do anything possible so Emerald doesn't have the power in that type of situation. And so they're just using, this is what we were told the mission was. That's what we're going to do. And I'm not going to just give it to a cell. You can't just give it to the Emerald cell time and time again. Clearly, you haven't been able to win any other ones, really. So you have to figure out different types of strategies. So Devin bringing that up is not relevant at all, because you have to factor in they're doing what they can to win that particular daily mission. It has nothing to do against you. And I guarantee the way Devin's mindset is and the way that he thinks, if he was in that situation playing the underdog role on a different cell, he would have came up with that strategy and said, guess what? We can have the numbers. Let's team up here. Make sure this cell doesn't win so one of us can win. I guarantee he would do the exact same thing, but because it impacts him and he thinks people are coming for the top dogs, then he has something to say about it.
Right. The votes are then cast, and Tori gets her way. She was able to, I guess, convince Devin in their previous conversation and through deliberation there to get everyone on board to just throw Big T in, because really, as we said, end result, it's pointless, because most likely 99 out of 100 eliminations, the person is going to pick Big T to go up against. So Big T was compromised. So, but I do like to see, before we talk about the Emmy Emmanuel thing, I do like seeing that it seems the issues between Tori and Big T, more so what Tori towards Big T, have been squashed. Which I liked seeing from a friendship building aspect. I liked that.
The conversation that they had with each other seemed completely real to me. It didn't seem fake at all. And I do think moving forward on future seasons, I actually could see them kind of having some type of a relationship with each other if they're both on the same season, because I think Tori has a big respect for Big T. Big T has a huge heart and she is very likable and people do root for her. Yes, they're trying to dance around having her on her cell, this, this, and that. But at the end of the day, I think people recognize that she just is a really good human.
Right. And part of it, I feel like, is totally game from Tori's side of like, just keep nice. Hopefully she doesn't pick me if we keep talking about this stuff and talk together. But we know Tori outside the show wants to be liked by everybody. She doesn't want to have enemies. So she felt coming into season Big T was an enemy because they went against each other. So obviously, originally at the beginning of the season, we even saw her like, I want to sabotage the Veterans Alliance just to get my vendetta against Big T. But from having all this time together, it seems like they were able to at least get past that. So that's cool to see. We then have Emmy complaining to Emmanuel because she feels Emmanuel should have more power than what he is, even though he's just a rookie, because they're friends outside this show. she feels she's Tori isn't the weapon. She's been the weapon this season, which she's right. She's like, she's been played by these, like a lot of these veterans very hard, and like convincing her to consistently go down in elimination and taking out people for them because they know event like every single time she'll just go back to big, to Uncle CT. Mm-hmm. So no harm, no foul. She will get the job done. She goes to CT. She doesn't infiltrate us. It's perfect. But she's getting pissed off about it now because she's like, I just feel like I'm being used. You're my friend. And you chose a girl that you're hooking up with over me. Even though we had this bond prior to the show and we're both Romania.
I get where Emmy's coming from, but she's giving Emmanuel a little more credit than I think he deserves. I don't think he really has much pull in his cell because of all the people, like we've already talked about, who has really been dominating the conversation to get what they want done on the men's elimination, on the girls' elimination. And it's not Emmanuel. He's just kind of there, in my opinion. He hasn't brought much to the table on this season besides hooking up with Tori. And I do think that is simply going to be a reason why he might get asked back because of the Tori and him relationship. If that continues to progress, no idea. I don't really keep up with the relationships because I don't really care that much. But I'm just saying, I think he is a good competitor, but we haven't seen it, what he can do in an elimination yet.
Right. And say he does go in elimination and loses his first one. That's not saying he's a bad player, but I'm just saying like he's talking very highly of himself, and I feel like storms are coming. It's just a matter of who ends up going against him before this final. Is there a rookie versus rookie thing? Logan has experience down in the elimination. Maybe it's those two down there. Logan gets the upper hand, wins again. Or you have all these veterans now. Kyle's very strong in elimination. CT's very strong in elimination, or at least used to be. He doesn't go into that many eliminations anymore. And the last one he went in, he was very out of shape. Devin can hold his own in eliminations, especially if it's a mental one. He will almost assuredly have the upper hand in it. It'll be very interesting to see, but it's time for the elimination. Big T goes down. They see the water. They see the puzzle. Tori's like, please, for the love of God, I don't want to be picked. Thank God I wasn't picked by the house or by the agency. And Big T decides to choose Emmy. Emmy feels it's because they don't think I'm a good swimmer. They know I'm not confident in puzzles, but we will see what's going to happen. And I actually liked the name of this elimination, License to Chill.
Yeah, it was a good one. The other ones have not been the best, but this one actually made complete sense. And what I will say by Big T picking Emmy, I actually think Big T does make the right choice based on what the elimination is, for sure.
Well, like there's a lot of factors in this. Like I feel part of me feels like, in theory, she shouldn't have cared who she went up against between the two because both of them aren't comfortable in puzzles. But she probably just has more of a relationship with Tori than she does with Emmy. So she's like, I'm willing to see Emmy go. So,
do you want to know what I think factored in the most? The pressure. Because we've seen a little bit where Emmy is not the best in pressure situations. Mm-hmm. And I actually think Tori has the ability to stay more calm and cool and collected in an elimination type of scenario. And I think Emmy being a rookie, yes, she's already won 3 eliminations, but she hasn't done it where she's had to complete a puzzle on her own. If she got flustered, and you know how Big T is, Big T can remain very calm. And if Emmy kind of got in her own head, maybe Emmy wouldn't have been able to complete the puzzle.
Right. But yeah, so it's License to Chill. To each, there's 2 giant pools that are just filled with ice. So freezing, temperature, cold, and puzzle pieces that will combine to make up a square when TJ says go. They race into the pools to dunk under, get to the other side, hit a bell, come back around, start working on your puzzle until TJ hits the air horn where you have to stop what you're doing and go back into the pool, hit the bell, and that process keeps going until someone completes the square puzzle. I liked the elimination. I think it would be a brutal one to go through. Hopefully it wasn't cold temperatures outside of the pool. That would be a rough one. But we do see both of them like struggling a little bit. Like Big T seems more confident with the puzzle, and you could tell no one's rooting for her. Everyone's sort of rooting for Emmy to win. CT's trying to shout at instructions to her, which I think could be helpful in some cases, but in other times it's like what Amanda said. It's like sometimes you just have to shut up and let her sink or swim. Like let her win on her own. Like let her figure it out, because she is figuring it out.
I think it honestly distracted her a tiny bit, because if you have someone, I think CT was yelling the entire time, telling her where to move things. And I think maybe if she kind of analyzes what the puzzle is going to be, what it's supposed to look like, and he's analyzing from above, completely fine, and maybe giving, you know, little tidbits here and there. But if he's screaming at her the entire time, then she's having to think through her own head what she needs to do, but then also thinking about what someone else is saying from above and having to factor in, oh my gosh, do I move it here? Do I move it there? Because it can become very, very distracting having to process someone yelling at you, but also you trying to think through what the correct puzzle is.
Yeah, add on to that the fact that you just dunked yourself in an ice bath.
Yeah.
So you're freezing. Your body is like probably trying its best to heat up to so it doesn't shut down. So your thoughts are also going towards that energy instead of being focused up here to think. It's being used to try to warm up your body. So it's a lot harder. Like that's why some people be like, oh, this doesn't look hard. Like people should be able to do this easily. Like getting the pieces together is going to be its own difficulty, but that's a puzzle. But like it shouldn't have an impact. It has an impact, but
right,
we do see Big T makes an error. She doesn't use that long piece that CT said you need to put in first. So she can't figure out how to do it. Emmy does wins her fourth elimination. As we said earlier, I believe it ties Leroy and Laurel for most elimination wins in a season. And she's among seven people to have won at least three eliminations in a single season, going with, I know two of them was the West Casey pairing of Fresh Meat. I forget who the other two are, though, unfortunately, but not off the top of my head. But it's big ground to stand on. Like, yes, not all of them were individual, but three of them were. Were some of them easier for her to win? Yeah, but they, like you said earlier, they were all not the same.
Mm-hmm.
They were very different styles. She did physical. She did a partner. She did a puzzle. And she did like an endurance and accuracy one. So, elimination queen of the season, Emmy, did it for Romania, did it for her grandmother, did it for her mother. I'm happy that they cut her off after the first part of her screaming. We've heard it twice already, or at least three times. I didn't need it fourth time. Love you, Emmy, but I'm good.
I totally get it. I mean, it's an incredible stat to have, especially it being your first season. And if she does continue to come back, I do think people are going to be fearful about calling her down to compete against an elimination. And that's something, if you can make people have that fear of going up against you, that is very beneficial, because it helps you get further along within the season. And that's what we're seeing with, I'm not comparing her to CT, not at all, but I'm just saying that's what we're seeing with this season. No one wants to call CT down. Therefore, CT is basically getting a free ride going all the way to the final, because I don't think anyone's going to call CT down amongst the guys if they do lose in this next one, because they're going to be fearful that CT is going to knock them out right before the final happens. So I think CT is going to coast into another final yet again. Props to Emmy, because that elimination in my eyes is no joke. People don't realize the shock it does to your body jumping in that ice. It just takes your breath away. And being able to then fully go and process how to complete a puzzle, hats off to her. So we're just going to see what happens. I do think moving forward, Emmy has a strong chance to perform well if she does indeed get through the final.
Right. Lauren, because that pretty much covers the episode, we all know Emmy goes back to Uncle CT. Shocker of all shockers.
Right.
Big T's going to keep working to improve herself. Tori also mentions that Big T's going to do that. Great for her. We know that most likely she's not going to be on the next season due to life and other things in her life that she wants to be doing. Not saying she's done with the challenge, but she will be back. Mm-hmm. I believe she will be. But you're never finishing that puzzle.
Me? No.
No. Lauren, the puzzle, not the opposite of a puzzle queen.
I could do the swimming part. The swimming part I would have no problem with because I've been in ice and all of that with, you know, sports and all that. The puzzle, absolutely not. I probably would have, you know, had the wrong piece in there at the beginning and just it never would have come together.
Yeah, the ice part would only be a factor, not the actual like going through it, but the aftermath of like trying to do something while you're just dripping from ice would be the factor for me, because I'm not bad at puzzles. I'm not the best at puzzles, but I would say I'm above average and I would have figured it out eventually. It just would be interesting to try some of these. I like, that's the one thing about the challenge. You always see these, especially the eliminations, because I ain't a runner. I would never be on the challenge because I can't run long distance for shit. But I do have endurance and other factors. And these eliminations are always something where I'm like, oh, I think I could do this one. I could do this one. Let's see how fast I could do it. It would be fun to do.
But I agree with you 100%. I would love to run a final because I know I could do the endurance aspect of the running. That's my bread and butter right there. I'm a runner. I have that. I have the speed and everything. Now,
so we should be paired up. You'll get me to do some running and I'll get my endurance up and I'll help do all the puzzles and mental work.
Yes, we would be fabulous partners with each other. And I'm sure we would bicker like hell too.
Yeah, so you can be the KC of the group. I'll be the Devin, except I won't be as much of a jackass to my friends about it. But that does wrap up this week's episode. Only a few more left, folks. We are getting down to it. We do thank you all for still following along the journey and choosing us as your venue. If you want to be more involved and help contribute to make this podcast better, become a patron at adfreensfw.com. That is adfreensfw.com, where you'll get to be able to join the secret Facebook page. We have multiple tiers. Some tiers you will get signed autographs monthly from previous contestants of Survivor, Big Brother, The Challenge, all reality TV, as well as some secret patron exclusive podcasts from Matt Bischoff and Johnny Fairplay. They do a Q&A with the patrons. Patrons can ask anything and everything. And boy, do they ask anything and everything. It's their favorite podcast to do every week. And they're also covering Australian Survivor, where they are finishing up Australian Survivor 2018. And we'll be soon going into 2019. And if you want to follow along and when you become a patron, guess what? Australian Survivor 2019 through 2021 are all on Paramount Plus for you to watch along with Johnny and Matt as they go week by week covering the episodes. Obviously, we'll be back on Wednesday to cover season 41 of Survivor. That's also getting towards the end game. It's last night's episode. I recommend watching. It was a great 90-minute podcast covering probably, I would say, the best episode of the season so far. Wouldn't you say, Lauren?
100%, in my opinion, best episode of the season. And if you want to hear more about that episode, I will be back tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 p.m. with the Deep Dive podcast with Alex Rubino. And we will also be joined by special guest Brian Corden from Survivor Guatemala. So going a little bit back in time here, super excited to talk with Brian. I know he has a ton of takes about this current Survivor season, so he's going to be a great guest to chat with. And also, if you're looking for the Challenge All-Stars coverage, we are going to be back Monday afternoon, 4:30 p.m., myself, Alex Trias, and the great Johnny Fairplay to break that down. Might I say, so far it has been quite a season, only 2 episodes in, but super enjoyable. Cannot wait to talk about episode number 3.
Yes, absolutely. And like, stay tuned and make sure you're watching along with that coverage, because we will have guests on throughout the season, former contestants and maybe current contestants, who knows. We may you'll never know with Reality and SFW who we're able to pull and bring in to talk these episodes, but you want to make sure you are following along. So if you're following on YouTube and you aren't subscribed, press that subscribe button. Click that bell for all notifications so that you are aware whenever new podcasts are going out live so that you can chat along in the chat with us. Salty Paul, best episode, but it is not the worst season ever. That's a lot of hyperbole. You know my thoughts on that. If you watch the podcast, I'm very high on this season.
As am I, but we are in the minority with that one, I can assure you.
No, we're not in the minority. It's always the vocal people that are the minority. And if the vocal people are saying it's the worst season ever, it is not the worst season ever. But with all that, thank you all for joining and listening in. We will be back next time. We'll be back at our normal time of Thursdays at 4:30. And with that, good night, everyone. And here's some final words from more of our sponsors. Take care, everyone.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free, and we thank Blue Chew.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.